From the Packers TV network, going end zone with the green and gold every week. This is Packers Live.
And welcome to Packers Live, the voice of the Packers. Wayne Larrivee here by the skin of his teeth. I'm Lance Allen. Another overtime win, Wayne, for the first time in team history. The team, the Packers, three comeback wins from 14-plus down in a single season. That's pretty amazing. Incredible.
Yeah, pretty incredible when you think about it. And I don't care if it was Cleveland 0-12 going into that ball game or not. That was a heck of a ball game in Cleveland, and the Packers had to come from way off the pace to get it done, and thank goodness they did.
They are basically the comeback kids. We mentioned it before that they have had those moments where they've started off the game, Wayne, very, very fast, and once again, they did it, especially starting with the fake punt.
With the fake punt right here, and Jermaine Whitehead picking up the first down. This is an 11-play, 74-yard drive. It required two fourth-down conversions on this drive, and it was aggressively called by Mike McCarthy and then the capper with this play right here. Broken coverage in the Cleveland secondary. Jamal Williams wide open backpedaling.
What I liked about that, Wayne, is Hundley in maybe games past put his head down, but in the pressure kept his eyes and his head up and found Jamal Williams down the field.
He did. And that's the part of the growth that we're seeing with this young quarterback. But this didn't last very long. The Cleveland Browns came right back. They scored 21 unanswered points. And the Packers offense went into a long period of dormancy. But right here, this is a great throw. DeShone Kizer, Lance, was very impressive to me in person, more so than what I saw on tape. He threw the ball well yesterday. Shovel pass right here. Clever call to Duke Johnson, and the Packers never expected that. So the Browns got a 14-7 lead by halftime. The Packers, at the end of the first half, Lance, they ran 15 plays. They gained 9 yards after their opening drive to close out the first half.
21 unanswered points. Cleveland, with that fragile psyche of losing, they call their stadium the Factory of Sadness. They've had a number of close games, Wayne. And somehow, some way, though, the Packers get the momentum back by going almost with small ball, basically.
What they did was they went five wide, folks. All day Cleveland was playing their cornerbacks well off the line of scrimmage. There was no press coverage. They had one safety high, and the second safety was on the second line defending against the run. So what do the Packers do? Mike McCarthy said, we're not going to bang our heads against the wall and get 1.3 yards of rush. We're going to go ahead and throw the ball, spread the field, take what they give us, which were these short passes the Packers ran all afternoon. Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator of Cleveland, was counting on Brett Hundley to get impatient and throw downfield, and that's where the mistake would be made. He never did. He ran the offense. He got into a real nice rhythm and let his receivers make the plays downfield.
I love that up-top view to show you what Wayne is talking about, and we waited on this for a while, Wayne, but when the weather gets cold and the conditions get slippery, Trevor Davis can be a weapon. A career-long 65-yard punt return, beautifully blocked, beautifully read.
Look at the twists and turns here. He goes one way to the right. Now he comes back to the left. Then he goes further to the left. Then he goes straight up the middle. You know, and all of a sudden, here's the thing, Lance. How many times when you see a return like that, there's a flag? Why?
Yeah.
Because somebody is guilty of a block in the back or something like that. When you've got a return man twisting and turning like that, going one direction or another, a legal block suddenly becomes an illegal block because of what the returner did, not the blocker. But it happens all the time. That time it did not, and it was the best punt return of the season by far for Green Bay.
I like Joe Thomas just kind of putting his hands up in the air saying, I didn't block that guy in the back, and that was perfect. All right, how about overtime again? DeShone Kizer, he's going to be back to pass, and Clay Matthews causes the jump ball situation. Wayne, beautiful job off the edge. Hits his arm perfectly, jump ball, and Josh Jones comes down with it.
Even if Clay wasn't there, I don't know who Kizer was throwing the ball to in that situation, but Clay was outstanding in this game. He had a sack, he had three quarterback hits, and that set up this play right here.
What a play. Basically off the bubble screen, there you see Davante Adams doing what he does best. Tough receiver on the outside. He's just going to take it up the ramp like Bo Jackson, Wayne.
He does a Bo Jackson on us. I didn't even think of that at the time, but you're exactly right. That was a great way to finish that ball game. And a resourceful football team. You know, Lance, the difference between the Packers and the Cleveland Browns isn't so much talent. It's in the Packers have a lot of players who are winners. They expect to win, and when it doesn't look like they're going to win, they steal victory from the jaws of defeat, and that's what they did in Cleveland.
All right, next up, we're going to talk much more about this victory on Packers Live and some key plays in Chalk Talk.
Packers Live is sponsored by Johnsonville, Mills Fleet Farm, Spectrum, and TIAA.
Welcome back to Packers Live. When you depend on a draft and develop strategy, you have to live with inexperienced mistakes. After some questionable decisions on fielding punts, Trevor Davis made a game-changing punt return against the Browns. Larry McCarron shows us how it happened in Chalk Talk.
If I had to guess, the Cleveland Browns were feeling pretty good about themselves until Trevor Davis's punt return. That's when they said, uh-oh. The return, a combination of Davis's natural ability and his teammates doing whatever they could to allow him to use it. The first good thing on the return, Josh Hawkins with a block. The first bad thing, an unblocked Cleveland Brown. But watch Davis. He makes a slick move to his right, and he buys himself some more time. But there's still plenty of Browns to worry about. Look, it looks like they have a Bermuda Triangle of cover people. But watch Davis. He's going to take care of them all with one hellacious cut. Look at that. That is what you call an ankle-breaking cut. One more time and watch the Cleveland Browns struggle trying to keep up with Davis. And now he is cooking with gas because he's headed toward his wall. And I want to focus in on two-thirds of it, Lemsey Pipkins and Joe Thomas, and watch how they use finesse on their blocks to make sure they don't get called for anything illegal. Now, those are not the most physical of blocks, but they are effective. And Davis has now got a lot of green grass in front of him. Next guy we want to look at, Geronimo Allison. That young man, he's from the University of Illinois, so he's a very creative individual. He's going to reverse fields and use a seldom seen butt block to put another Brown on the ground. And now Davis, he's picking up blockers all over the place. Fackrell, Hawkins, Joe Karras, Jeff Janis, and they finally get Trevor Davis down after 65 yards, his longest punt return of the season.
Frankly, you know, him and I had a talk earlier in the week, and I told him he's the guy. I mean, he's been on the cusp of breaking out. He's right there. I mean, he breaks tackles, and he has the ability to finish it, as you can see, as he did on that last return. That's one of five huge plays in the game that put us in position to win the game. So, yeah, I'm a big believer and fan of Trevor's.
65-yard return. My goodness.
Can you say timely, Wayne?
Did Larry go to Illinois? I wonder. But, man, what a great play by Trevor Davis, and nobody got called for a flag because they did the right thing.
They did the right thing, and Trevor made a great return. And it's nice to see him. He's had several returns called back, good returns called back this year. Good for him.
Good for him. All right, time for the roundtable. Rod Burks of the Packers TV Network joins us. We'll be back in one moment. Time for the roundtable. Rod Burks of the Packers TV Network joining us, and let's start with the subject of the week. As we tape the show, no definitive word on Aaron Rodgers' status. All signs seem positive. While that is great news, Carolina game, huge challenge no matter who's at quarterback. So what do you guys think? What happens in Carolina?
Well, we'll see. I mean, everybody's waiting to see what's going to go happen with his scans. The Packers had scans with him on Monday, and Mike McCarthy steps in the mic, and he really didn't give us any new information, but saying he had his scans. The experts are weighing in if he's going to play or not. I mean, obviously, you have to say that his shoulder has healed, but is it healed enough for him to play football? That's important.
Well, he's got a plate in there, so that helps.
Right.
You know, if had they not done a plate in there, if they had just let it heal naturally, then maybe not. But maybe this is what gives him a chance to play. And, Rod, I wonder if the Packers would have used a move on injured reserve. They only get two. They used one on Aaron Rodgers if they didn't think he was going to play.
Right. But the final say are the doctors.
Yes.
I mean, you know Aaron Rodgers is going to want to play.
Yep.
It could be 50-60%, and he's one of those guys who he plays hurt just like a lot of guys on that football team, and you know that guy's going to want to play. But the doctors are going to give the final say if he plays or not because you don't want him getting hurt for next year.
It is a medical decision as we speak here on this program right now. But then it becomes a coaching a football decision. If he's cleared medically, mm-hmm. then if it's a football decision, can this guy give us what we need? Does he have enough?
But what everybody saw when he was in Pittsburgh, I mean, nobody thought that he would be out there in Pittsburgh at pregame throwing a football 50
right.
yards down
but
the
he
field.
Looked good.
And
I
when you
there.
Do something like that with one of the best quarterbacks in the game, if not the best quarterback in the game,
yeah.
people are inquiring minds are going to want to know. So they're going to get peppered with questions. As soon as they have a definitive answer, they're going to let us know.
And last point to be made. If he's cleared medically to play,
yes.
football will clear him too. I guarantee.
But you got to. But you know what though? On the side end of that, you got to be happy for Brent Hundley.
Yeah,
I mean, here's
yeah.
a guy who won two overtime games.
Yeah.
He did. He threw no interceptions on Sunday.
Yeah.
He played well. Three touchdowns.
Yeah.
Played money football at the end of the game. Came. I mean, that pass that he threw to tie the game up to Davante Adams.
Right.
That back shoulder. That was a beautiful
so
pass.
Perfect segue, Rod. So Brent Hundley goes 3-5 in the games he played the majority of time. 3-4 when he was a starter. Had the moxie, got one at the end. So how do you evaluate, how do both you guys evaluate Brett Hundley's play?
I think he's proven himself to be a very capable backup quarterback. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And he's a guy that the team now believes they can win with. You know, long term, no, but I'm talking about he can come in and win a game or two here or there. There's no question about that. I think this has been a, you know, hey, they went 3-5. They very mm-hmm. easily could have gone 4-4, and they played well enough in Pittsburgh. They did everything but win that game.
What this does for Brett Hundley, it helps out his confidence. I mean, this guy's his confidence. I mean, to step in, follow one of the best quarterbacks in the game in Aaron Rodgers, and to play the way he played, he didn't throw any interceptions yesterday, and he won games. He didn't make any mistakes. He won games. He made good throws.
And clutch in the end.
I don't know what this does for him. You know, if his contract comes up, and our other team's going to be clamoring for Brett Hundley.
Right.
Maybe not. But I know he fits what they're doing in Green Bay very well, and he's got a job, I'm thinking, with the Packers as long as he wants.
Because until this point, we didn't know if he could win a football game in a regular season game because he hadn't played.
So at least
so it was a little rocky. It was a little bumpy along the way. He had he had some bad games. He had some good games, but he's won football games, and you need your backup player to do that.
Never lost his poise.
No, never did. Very simple question, guys. What do you do with the corner crisis, as I like to call it? No Kevin King. Devon House is out for a little while, if not the rest of the season, but they say maybe he can come back. What do you do at corner?
But Lance, even if he comes back, he's not going to be 100%.
No, I mean, he is.
You see how much pain he's
laid. But you just need bodies out there, Rod.
I know. He played hurt played hurt before the game.
Right.
And then he couldn't even, like, he was in pain. I mean, they're hurting.
Yeah, it's very difficult. Demaryius Randle's playing very well, playing at a high level, and has been consistently for the last 8 weeks, in my opinion. But beyond that, now they have to mix and match. I thought Morgan Burnett did a resourceful job in the slot, covering slot receivers yesterday. He can do that. But, yeah, certainly they're compromised against some of the better passing teams in the league.
Yeah, definitely. Morgan Burnett needs a shout-out because he did play well in the slot and at nickelback as well. All right, Davante Adams, 10 catches, 84 yards, tying and winning touchdowns in Cleveland. And, oh, by the way, his contract up at the end of the year, is it Devon Pay? Do you sign him at all costs? And what could be the fallout with the rest of the wide receiver group if you give him all that money? Rod, you're a money guy.
By the way, that's my guy.
I couldn't tell. He's going up the tunnel. He's saying, I'm going to get paid.
Talk about the big plays that this guy has made with a backup quarterback. They got trust in each other. The way he caught that ball to tie the game up, and then he did that walk-off. Yeah. He caught the touchdown pass and ran all the way into the locker room.
Right up
he did.
And he's making some big-time plays. And, I mean, obviously his stats would be bigger if Aaron Rodgers was playing, but he's making it happen with a backup quarterback.
For those who think he's just emerging now because he and Hundley have a relationship, no. He was emerging with Aaron Rodgers. Don't forget in that Dallas game, they went to him twice down the stretch there to win that ball game in Dallas. So Devontae is just emerging into a big time player.
I'll never forget the year he was struggling, and we were talking to Randall Cobb in the locker room, and Randall said, "You guys don't understand. This guy can do things that nobody in our receivers room can do."
Right.
And you guys don't understand.
He got the hand thing figured out.
He goes, he can do things that none of us can do. And that's a high praise for another team. Like, Randall Cobb has made some big plays. He's beaten the Bears. He's made some big plays. For him to come out and say about 17, I'm on board.
Mike McCarthy earlier this year said to me off the record, he said, you know what? He said, by off the record, I mean, we weren't taping an interview.
Mm.
But he said, Davante Adams is one of the best receivers I have ever coached.
Wow.
He's coached a long time.
And he's coached a long time and seen a lot of good offensive players. All right, up next, a Packers cornerstone who learned when not to listen, and he's very happy he did. You're watching Packers Live.
Packers Live is sponsored by Menards, UW Health, and Toyota.
Welcome back on Packers Live. Many athletes use these so-called haters as motivation. For David Bakhtiari, those doubters have been there all the way through his football journey, and the Packers left tackle is proud he never let them douse his competitive spirit.
Packers Extra is presented by Johnsonville and Mills Fleet Farm.
I would say my career has kind of been built on people telling me what I can't do. Coming out of high school, I had a lot of potential D1 scholarships that they just said, you know, you're not big enough, not strong enough, not fast enough, kind of all those intangibles. And then you go from the college to the pros, they're saying, you know, you're not big enough to play tackle, you're also not fast, not strong enough, we're going to move you inside. I said, I mean, that's okay, that's your opinion of your viewpoint, but those opinions are also telling a Pro Bowler or an All-Pro that he's not good enough to play tackle. So that's just kind of, at this point in time, you kind of look back and laugh on it. And if I were to listen to him, I wouldn't be where I am today.
You know, I like David Bakhtiari in the sense that he plays with a chip on his shoulder, good friends with Aaron Rodgers, his main protector, and Wayne, every single year he's gotten better and getting high praise from his immediate coach.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you something. You know, James Campen and I, we had a conversation the other night. He said he wouldn't take anybody's left side of the offensive line over his. That's David Bakhtiari, who's a Pro Bowl player at left tackle, and Lane Taylor at left guard, who's really come in and solidified that side of the line. You put, you know, Corey Linsley on the inside at center, you've got a really solid trio right there.
And they've done a pretty decent job, Wayne. You know, obviously they lost Brian Bulaga early in the year on the right side, and they've had some shuffling that they've had to do on occasion, but it seems like that left side, pretty solid.
Pretty
overall.
Solid, and has done a great job of protecting the blind side, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or Brett Hundley. But these guys can play, and they are good not only defending, you know, against the pass rush, but also in blocking for the run.
That is awesome. All right, coming up, we'll look at the playoff race. We're headed for a wild finish in the NFC, so hang on as we get you ready for the Carolina Panthers. Welcome back on Packers Live. And normally in this segment, Wayne, we talk on and on and on about the opponent and the Carolina Panthers or whatever. No, now we're down to the last three games, and the Packers playoff scenarios, they need help to get in, win, and you maybe get in. But right now, there you see it. In the NFC, the playoff picture is pretty stacked.
Yeah, you know, again, you got a lot of good teams in the NFC led by Philadelphia, Minnesota. The Rams, Saints are in there. Carolina's a very good football team. Atlanta's on the periphery of it. And so is Seattle, 8-5. Both teams 8-5 right now. Packers, Lions, Cowboys is 7-6. Let's take a look at what's coming up down the stretch for these teams. You know, when you look at the playoff scenario and the schedules for these teams, Carolina, then Minnesota at home at Detroit. Pretty tough road for Green Bay. Seattle, the Rams this week up in Seattle. Then on the road at Dallas, and the Cowboys are playing better. They get Zeke back this week. And then Arizona will be a tough game no matter how they play it. And then you've got Atlanta. They've got it at Tampa Bay, then at New Orleans, and against Carolina. A lot can happen down the stretch.
The Falcons, arguably, Wayne, have the toughest schedule. Now, you know, that a lot can be played out, a lot of injuries, things like that. The Packers still need help to get in. But their destiny is not in their hands, but at least they have games that they need to win. Carolina, in addition to the Lions game, those are games that could get you in.
Winning the final three for the Packers is not a lock, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not a lock that they'll get into the playoffs, but it's a pretty good possibility they will if they win all three games. They'll have enough tiebreakers on their side.
And how about, you know, I mentioned the injury thing, Carson Wentz. Out for the year. Yeah. I mean, things are definitely up for grabs in the NFC.
Yeah, there's no question about it, Lance. If you get into the tournament, you got a chance in the NFC. There are a lot of good teams in there, but, I mean, a lot of things are happening, and that was a huge injury for Philadelphia.
Absolutely. You got to make it. All right. For Wayne Larrabee, I'm Lance Allen. Thanks for watching Packers Live. We'll see you next week.